chapter 4, beginning at the first verse, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.' Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. 'If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.' Jesus answered him, 'It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.' Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. 'All this I will give you,' he said, 'if you will bow down and worship me.' Jesus said to him, 'Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.' Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him." Today I want to continue this discussion of that phrase that Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy: "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." We talked last week about how God has a right to be what we think is nitpicky. He has a right to set the smallest conditions upon our lives. We talked about, and I want to remind you of what Moses told the people in Deuteronomy 32:47. And if you have not memorized Deuteronomy 32:47, I would highly, highly, highly recommend that you do so, because we definitely need to get this deep into our thinking today. Just this week, I was talking to somebody who is dealing with these issues. We want to hear from God. We want to hear from God. What does God have to say? But we don't get into the Word. Why doesn't God speak to me? God has no obligation whatsoever. Let me repeat that. God has no obligation whatsoever to speak to you in any way about anything that he has already spoken in his word. We have the duty to study the word of God and to find out what it is God has already said, not to hear some vision or something that's so often a sock puppet in our head saying what we say with pretend voice of God. That phrase, I love the NIV translation of Deuteronomy 32:47. "These are not just idle words for you." They may be idle words for other people, but far too often, as Christians, we take the word of God as idle words. We say, "I know the Bible says, but..." Idle words. We look at what God has said, and then we say, "Yeah, but you know, I feel. I think. I. And you know what? God is never going to rule heaven based upon our thinking. And do you know that every single time that a Christian says, I think, do you know what the next words they say are? Absolutely wrong. The Bible says that. The Bible says, my are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. So when you say, I think, you can mark down whatever you're going to say, it's wrong. Because God says, I don't think the way you think. My thoughts are the opposite of your thoughts. Now, if Christians would do more of, here's what I think, I'm going to do the opposite of it, we'd probably be right more often. And here's the sad part. Look with me at Hosea. Hosea was a prophet very much like Jeremiah. He is prophesying in a day when destruction is coming upon God's people. And I'm not saying that is definitely going to happen in our nation, but there is every probability that it might. We do not comprehend how quickly destruction could come upon us. We think ourselves so immune, but we are not. Turn with me Helps if I'm in Amos. You know what? Helps if you got the right street before you look for the address. Hosea 4:6. Here's what words that could have been written about us today. He says, you stumble day and night. Boy, isn't that a description of so much of what passes for Jesus' church today? You stumble day and night. Someone asked me about the movie War Room, and boy, I was so, I loved the movie. It touched all the right strings in it. But the longer I've been meditating on that, the more it's bothered me that we have to make up stories about God's wondrous intervention. Why are there no true stories of war rooms being told? And I had this discussion last night with my mom, and my mom said, well, you know, maybe it's happening and just we don't know about it. And I don't buy that. Because when God's Spirit moves, people know about it. It is so unusual to see God move that when it really happens, it spreads like wildfire. The great revival historian J. Edwin Orr used to say, the fame of revival spreads the flame of revival. And it's absolutely true. Why is it that we now have to do what the world does, and that is tell stories about make-believe instead of repeat stories about what God is doing today? It's tragic, isn't it? You stumble night and day, and the prophets stumble with you. And you know what? Isn't that today? The preachers are in no better position than the people are. And often The preachers are worse than even the people are. I remember when I was first saved in the liberalism of the 70s, and we used to say that denominational officials were more liberal than the pastors. And the pastors were more liberal than the people. But you know what? They've swung the tide. And now it's all the way through. The prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We don't know the Word of God. We're not filled with the knowledge of the Word of God. We don't think in terms of when a question is asked, the Word of God comes pouring out. I remember years ago, I was having a discussion with the 10th or 11th grade English teacher, Mr. Mortimer. We had what was called 8th period, and it was a study hall for the entire school. And during that 8th period, they had band and chorus and all those special activities because we lived so far apart that they didn't send extra buses to keep kids after school. When you left, the school shut down. We were having a discussion, and he said, "Well, what about this?" And I quoted the Bible. He said, "I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. I want to hear what you think." I said, "Oh, that makes all the difference in the world." And I said the same thing without quoting the reference. We need to come to the place where we are so informed by the Word of God, where the Word of God fills our thinking to such an extent that we have no thought but the Word of God. Because everything outside of that is a lie and everything inside it is true. Look with me at Jeremiah 8:7. Jeremiah 8:7. Jeremiah 8:7. Let's begin at verse 6. Jeremiah 8:6. God is speaking to Israel in a day just like our day in America, when the people were turning their backs on Him, when judgment was coming like a freight train. And God says, "I have listened attentively The problem today is not that God is not listening. The problem today is not that God is not ready to hear. God says, even in a backslidden day, I have listened attentively, but they do not say what is right. No one repents of his wickedness, saying, 'What have I done?'" I don't know how many times I've had the conversation with other pastors that we need to come together and have deep, repentant prayer. "Oh, no, 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 no. That's too much of a downer. It's too much of a downer. We need to praise more and get the music going." And that's what God wants to hear. No! Listen to this description and see if it applies today. "Each pursues his own course." Wow, what a description. Everybody does their own thing, goes their own way. "I'm the Lord of my own life. God speaks to me. I know what I'm doing." "Each pursues his own course like a horse charging into battle. Even the stork in the sky knows her appointed seasons. Do you know why we call people that don't have much sense bird brains? Do you know how small a brain a bird has? God says the storks know what they're doing. They follow my plan. God's problem isn't with the storks. The storks do what he tells them to do. The dove, the swift, and the thrush observe the time of their migration. Do you know there is an Arctic wren? This just blows my mind. There is an Arctic wren. It's a bird that lives in Alaska during the summer. And every single fall, it flies 7,000 miles to the middle of the Pacific, to the islands down near the equator, and winters in these islands down near the equator. Now, for a long time, scientists thought they left Africa, crossed the Bering Strait, came down through Siberia, crossed China, came down through Indonesia, and then finished the leg over into the islands where they summer. So they attached this little tiny GPS on some of them. Little tiny microscopic GPS on some of these wrens to follow their migration. Those wrens take off from Alaska and fly nonstop over empty ocean for 7,000 miles without stopping, all the way to those islands. Unbelievable. Birds know what they're doing, but my people do not know the requirements of the Lord. And what a description of today. My people don't know the requirements of the Lord because we don't ask at the source of the Lord's wisdom. He goes on, verse 8, how can you say you're wise? For we have the law of the Lord, when actually the lying pens of the scribes have handled it falsely. How many preachers today have simply given people false hopes until they are filled to the eyeballs with false hopes, and only eternity they will wake up as Jesus said they would and say, Lord, Lord. And then Jesus will say, I never knew you. Look at verse 10. The end of verse 10, it says, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. How much today about pastorate is success? Prophets and priests alike all practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. How many people there today are saying there's no real serious problem in the church? It's not that bad. Joel Osteen says we're in a day of revival. And to an extent, that's true. God accepts. Oh, there's a word there. Repentant of any sin, doesn't God? But God does not accept the unrepentant of any sin. Peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their loathsome conduct? No! They have no shame at all. Listen to these words. Isn't this? They do not even know how to blush. I want you to think about the last time you saw someone blush in America today. People say the most vile, the most contemptible things with a perfectly straight face. Things that used to be whispered in secret, they don't even know how to blush. And we as believers need to understand, because we're living in a day when I heard it just this week. Somebody talking about the Lord speaks to me, the Lord spoke. I've heard from the Lord, and God does speak to people. But we need to understand that there are some massive qualifications on that. The first one is what the writer of Hebrews warns us. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We need to be reminded of this because, you know, we live in a day when people want to hear the voice of God speaking out of the sky to them. The Lord spoke to me. Well, maybe He did and maybe He didn't. There are a lot of spirits that speak. And today, demons are far more likely to speak than angels. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. The very beginning of the book of Hebrews. In the past. Well, Pastor, God spoke to Abraham and God gave dreams to Joseph and God gave visions to Daniel, and God gave, absolutely true on every single statement. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. He did. Did He speak through dreams? Certainly. Did He speak through animals and out of fires? Did He give visions and prophecies? All of those things, didn't He? But in these last days, ooh, what's that word? But. Oh yeah, God did that then, but now something different's going on. But now, in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. And His Son gave us His Word. Well, Jesus didn't write the whole... No, that's why He appointed, as those of us who have been at Bible study have learned, He appointed apostles. That's why we don't read the writings of the disciples. Disciples don't speak for their master. We read the writings of the apostles. Those who were appointed by Jesus to be His designated representatives. He's spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, and through whom He made the universe. We need to understand that if we want to know what God had to say, we need to get into the book. We need to know the book from cover to cover. Look at what Isaiah said about this. Go back to the book of Isaiah. Here's a verse you ought to know. If you don't have this on your list, memorize this verse. Isaiah 8:20. Memorize this verse. Because more and more, we need to understand that this is what it comes down to. There was an author, and I forget his name now, wrote a wonderful tract called The Undoing of the Reformation, The Return to Catholicism. And in it he makes the claim that we have, in the so-called Protestant church in America, and especially in the evangelical church, we have undone every truth that was uncovered during the Reformation. Before the Reformation, they were into all kinds of stories and plays and dramas because they didn't believe the Bible had any power. You needed to manipulate people emotionally. How much of what is passes for Protestant Christianity is emotional manipulation? Churches like Willow Creek telling us we need to have a drama before the message, not scripture reading. Because that's what people identify with. Isaiah says this, Isaiah 8:20, to the law and to the testimony. If you put those two things, what's the testimony? Old Testament word testimony. What's the testimony? Prophets. The words of the prophets, they called the testimony. So if you put together the law and the prophets, what do you have? The whole of the Word of God at that time, correct? So what he's saying to the Bible, to the Scriptures, if they do not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Or as the King James translates that, they have no light in them. They're walking in darkness. They're blind, leaders of the blind. To the law and to the testimonies. What does the Bible say? Oh God, how are you speaking to me? What does the Bible say? Peter says the same thing. Look with me over at 1 Peter. Look with me over at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 11. We'll start in verse 10, 1 Peter 4:10. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully. There are spiritual gifts. There are spiritual gifts, and we need to be using them. Administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, oh, I have a word from the Lord. If some people, is that what the Bible says? Anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If you're going to speak, quote the source. Don't tell me what God said unless you're quoting the source. If anyone speaks, let it be out of the Word of God. I believe God told me. Good for you. Excellent. Doesn't mean a thing unless you're quoting the book. Because God said, if you're going to speak, speak the words. I love the NASB. The NASB translation says, speak as one who speaks the very utterances of God. Say it the way God says it. Then it'll be right. You say, but what if God gives me a word? Look at what the Bible says about that. Look at 1 Corinthians. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Well, I don't care. I believe I heard from the Lord. So what? Doesn't mean a thing. The book. I remember years ago, I was in a church, in a high church, a Lutheran church. And they had this big sacrosanct down in the front. And they had me come down to do something. I sat something down on that. And they come over, oh, you can never set something on the Bible. And I said, how can you treat the paper as so holy and the words as so meaningless? They didn't like it. Don't know why. I said, the difference between you and me is I don't think that this physical thing is holy, but the words that are in it are. You treat the thing as though you've got to venerate it, but you ignore the words that it contains. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing this, that, and the other thing. Oh. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 14. Look with me at 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. If two or three prophets should speak, two or three should speak. Oh, I have a word from the Lord. No, there's got to be two or three. They've all got to agree. But then it says, and let the others weigh carefully what is said. Just because you think you've heard from God doesn't mean that it doesn't have to be weighed carefully in light of the book. Remember 1 John 4:1? Remember 1 John 4:1? Do you have that one memorized? 1 John 4:1. Whoop, if you don't, write that one down. Get that one in the banks. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they come from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. And you know what's the only thing that will keep you from being a false prophet? The book, the book, the book, the book. You know the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God? You see, The book is the foundation of everything. Oh my goodness. Got through the first point. Let's go back to Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3. Deuteronomy 8:3. Beginning at verse 2, look at verse 2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you. He said, every day when you had to eat that manna, God says, I was teaching you something. It was all an object lesson to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. This word is your food. It's your life. When Moses says in Deuteronomy 32:47, these are not just idle words to you, they are your life. Oh, I hate to read. So what? Is Jesus Lord or is he not? Oh, it's so boring. Okay? Let's be real honest. It can be that sometimes. And especially if your heart isn't right, it's going to be boring as all get out. But is Jesus Lord or not? Israel never got it. They never fed on the Word of God the way they fed on that manna. Man, they choked down that manna. But they never lived on the Word of God the same way. And neither is the church today. Peter says the same thing. 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Now, a lot of us here have been parents. We know something that new parents or people about to become parents don't really understand. You know what? One of the tragic lies that the devil fills people's heads with and destroys their lives is how many young girls has Satan deceived into thinking, oh, get pregnant, then you'll have someone to love you with so much love. Do children love you when they're newborns? No, newborn children love one person, and that is themselves. They don't care one whit about you. Do they care that you're tired? 3 a.m. I'm hungry. And they do not say, Mommy, Daddy, could you please bring me some food? If you're not too tired, if so, I can wait another couple hours and let you get some sleep. 3 a.m. You know, if you ever have trouble waking up in the morning, just record what they do at 3 a.m. use that as your alarm clock, you'll never sleep through it. Am I wrong? And you know what? Since they woke you up in the middle of the night at 3 in the morning, they say, hey, sleep in till 10 or 11, right? 6:37, it goes off again, doesn't it? And 10 or 11, it goes off again. And 1 or 2 in the afternoon, it goes off again. And the more you feed them, the more it goes off. What would happen if you had that kind of spiritual hunger for the Word of God? What would your life look like if you had that kind of hunger for the Word of God? Jeremiah puts it this way, Jeremiah 15:16. If you haven't memorized that one, you need to memorize that one. Jeremiah 15:16, thy words were found and I did eat them. They were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I bear your name, O Lord. Now I want you to think about something. People say all the time, well, you know, that's a real downer word. Every time I hear somebody say something out of the Word of God is a downer, I know they are not on God's agenda, period. I don't care if they're pastor. I don't care if they're super pastor. I don't care if they're mega pastor. I don't care where they are in this society's apprehension. They are out of the will of God, period. Because there is no one in the entire Word of God that received a more negative message than Jeremiah. No one received a more unmitigated message of disaster and judgment than Jeremiah. And Jeremiah says, thy words were found and I did eat them. And they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Because I bear your name, O Lord God Almighty. Oh, see? They are not just idle words for you. They are your life. The Word of God is life. But you know, it's not enough to stay there. And there are some people that at one point in their life were there and they had that initial hunger and they were interested in that milk. But it's not enough to stay there. Hebrews 5 warns those people and he warns us. And there's, I believe, a number of us in this room that need to take very seriously what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews 5. This is not some other person's mail. This is our mail. This is written to us right here. Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Now, if you want to understand what being slow to learn means, just go over to verse 6. Chapter 6, when it says, verse 11, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy. When he says we're slow to learn, that is not a positive thing. In fact, Hebrews 5:12, although by this time you ought to be teachers. Are you fit to be a teacher? Are you fit to be a teacher? Are you fit to be a discipler? To sit down and teach a person how to pray with them? Show them what godly praying is? What kingdom praying is? Can you teach them the Word of God? Oh, pastor. No! You should be able to do this. In fact, by this time, you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. I heard a story a number of years back. It was just, I was so disgusted. There was a child entering first grade, and the mother came to the school and wanted time every day for the child to be released for her to nurse this first grade child. And when the school said no, she would come every day and stand outside the chain link fence during playtime and have the child come over to nurse at 6 years of age. That's sick. But you know what? There are Christians, people who call themselves Christians, people who profess to be Christians, who have no shame at all about doing that. Not 6 years old, 15, 20, 25, 30 years old, and still want a nurse from mommy. Because we refuse to know the Word of God. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves. See, there's a constant use thing. You have to use the Word of God. You have to use the Word of God to inform your thinking. You need to use the Word of God to determine how to parent, how to be an employee, how to behave, how to speak, how to live. Constant use. Have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Now, let me be perfectly clear about one thing. You will never do this on your own. The unsaved Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 7 knew that. When Philip comes up running, or in Acts chapter 8, comes running up. When Philip comes running up, Acts chapter 8, comes running up to him and says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" The unsaved Ethiopian eunuch said, "How can I understand unless somebody explains it to me?" Last verse, and then we're done for today. Ephesians chapter 4. If you're going to constantly use the Word of God to train you up in proper godly thinking, and that's what we're going to be talking about next week. We're going to talk about a wonderful phrase that Paul writes. He talks about having the mind of Christ. Now, God says, "Your thoughts are not my thoughts." But the Bible says that we can have the mind of Christ. But you can't have it unless you fill your life with the Word of God. And you can't do that on your own. Look at Ephesians 4:11. It says, "It was He, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastor teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's what the writer of Hebrews was saying you haven't done. Then, verse 14, we will no longer be infants. When we allow the people that God has called to be the teachers, to teach us. It's wonderful to read your Bible at home. You need to be doing that. You need to be studying at home. We're going to look at that. There's a difference between those two things. If you don't believe me, just let me ask you a simple question. Which would you rather have? You're going to have major abdominal surgery this week. Who would you rather have do that surgery? Someone who's studied surgery or someone who's read a textbook on surgery? You can pick one of two men, women, whatever, to perform the surgery on you. One has studied surgery, and the other one's read a textbook on surgery. Who do you want to perform the surgery? Oh, I love that guy that's read it one time. Boy, let's go with him. Anybody, any takers? Then we will no longer be infants, verse 14. Tossed back and forth by the waves. Do you know how many people are tossed back and forth by the waves today? They're up, they're down, they're in, they're out, they're back, they're forth. God says this one day and God says the opposite the next day, then He's back again. You'd think God was the most fickle being on the face of the earth if you listened to some people talk. But God hasn't changed His opinion once in a trillion years. Blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Let me ask you, what's the role of the Word of God in your life today in a practical sense? When you're squeezed, does the Word of God just flow out of you? Or when you're squeezed, does your opinion push forth? I know it says, but. Well, I don't know. I don't know, but here's what I think. Or is it the Bible says? You know, it's real easy as kids to sing that song, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. It's real easy to sing that as a seven-year-old in Bible school, isn't it? Something entirely to live it as an adult, isn't it? We don't need a Bible school faith. We need a kind of faith that actually knows and does the will of God. And the only way to do it is the book. The book. The book. Let's bow together. Oh God. Someday everything we see around us will be gone. There will be not one single opinion poll. There won't be any commentators. There won't be any news on TV. There certainly won't be any of these stupid comedies that people think are funny today. They'll all be consigned to the pit. But Jesus, You said, heaven and earth will pass away. not the smallest stroke of my word will pass away until every word is fulfilled. Oh God, may we be people not of our opinions, not of what we think we've heard, but of the book, the book, the book, the book. In Jesus' name.